Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, owner and user of Mint Mobile. And I am recording this message on my phone. I'm literally on my Mint phone. Why? Because fancy recording studios cost money. And if we spent money on things like that, we couldn't offer you screaming deals. Like if you sign up now for 3 months, you get 3 months free on every one of your plans, even unlimited. Visit mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time, new customer offer. Activate within 45 days. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. Unlimited customers using more than 40 gigabytes per month will experience lower speeds. Video streams at 480p. See mintmobile.com for details.
All right, welcome to Power Hour with Nina Turner. How you doing, Nina?
I'm fine. How are you, Tink?
I'm rock and roll, just like Cleveland.
Which is a beautiful thing. We're rocking and rolling a beautiful fall day. I was talking to Marissa about that, who's from the Cleveland area, and she was just reminiscing about how fabulous our falls are when we have them, because sometimes we jump right from summer to winter, but right now we're enjoying a nice fall. So yeah, rock and roll.
Okay, you're making me jealous with that, because that's one thing I miss about the East Coast for sure is the fall. I love the fall, and
me so too.
Putting on a light jacket, going out in the fall in the East Coast, it's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah,
isn't it beautiful? Oh my God, that's what Marissa said. She misses that. She said that there's no changes in there in Cali. You guys just stay kind of the same.
No, that's not true. We go from like 78 to 75.
slight change.
Yeah. And I don't know what's going on with TYT, but we used to be a huge Pittsburgh city. We still are. We have an office in Pittsburgh. And a lot of folks here just randomly happen to be from Pittsburgh. But now all of a sudden, here comes Cleveland.
Cleveland, baby. Cleveland rocks.
Yeah, and as I said in the town hall we did together, I'm taking my son to a Browns game, Chargers Browns, this weekend. It's coming up finally, and that's because he's a Browns fan, much to my great disappointment.
Yes. Loving it. So you guys are coming in?
No, it's in L.A. because they're playing the Chargers. So I got him.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I got him the tickets for his birthday.
Go Browns.
If you say so. What am I going to do?
Just you can't be rock and roll and you don't say go Browns. Come on.
All right. We got a show to do. We got stories. Let's start. Let's do the story of the week.
Okay.
Story of the week this week is about the Pandora Papers, and that is 11.9 million documents that were obtained by 600 journalists in over 117 different countries. It's amazing on the cooperation among journalists alone. It's just a wonderful story. Of course, the result of the story is facts that are terrible, okay? But it's great journalism. And it's of course about how the ultra rich hide their money, move them around, move them to offshore accounts, and expose an offshore system used by government leaders, billionaires, and of course criminals to hide their assets. Which by the way might be redundant, but so now we have governments in Pakistan, Mexico, Spain, Brazil, Sri Lanka, Australia, and Panama saying that they will investigate these offshore accounts. There's nearly 29,000 of them, 130 people listed as billionaires were on the list, five different continents, and 14 heads of government that apparently were involved here. By the way, some of the offshore accounts are here in America, because our system is so corrupt. Corrupt leaders in other countries think, oh, it'll be easy to hide our money in America. They don't care about corruption at all. So that's damning too. I want to get back to that later. But Nina, you picked the story of the week. So give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another example of how the system is absolutely rigged and the mega wealthy, not just in our country, but all over the world can hide their money. And what are they hiding this money for? Because they don't want to pay their fair share. And to me, this is just a big reminder of how we must not only fight the system in our own country, but this think is a global struggle. And we can't be reminded of that enough. And so absolutely kudos to the reporters that came together and put this out. I know that there is supposed to, some countries are going to investigate. I don't know what that is actually going to turn into when all is said and done, but we cannot be sleepwalking in this country or in this world. We have to know that the wealthy and powerful, they get together no matter where they are in the world. And what they are doing is rotten to the core. It disrupts, interrupts the economy, the system itself. Well, maybe the system does need to be disrupted, but not in the way that they're doing it. And so we got to keep pushing. That's why we need to have a wealth tax in this country. And that South Dakota, Jake, I mean, they're like two, three states I didn't touch down on over the last 7 years. And South Dakota is certainly one of them.
Yeah, I want to show you that graph. So this is the states in our country that have the most trust identified in the Pandora Papers. And so Delaware is famous for corporate shelters, but now almost all the corporations are based in Delaware. But they only came in third. South Dakota was runaway number one. That's because South Dakota is the third largest state in the country. Not true. No, I'm kidding. South Dakota is a tiny, tiny state in terms of population. No, you get all those shady trusts in South Dakota because it's run by Republicans, and they basically said, yeah, you can hide your illegal money here. We're basically in favor of robber barons. So they allow nonstop foreign criminals to store their money in South Dakota.
And Gene, can we make another a finer point? This is not just business people, heads of state, as you know, politicians are involved too. Let us not forget that people who hold the public trust are absolutely involved in this scheme. And they're not ashamed. And a lot of them know, I mean, it's sad to say, they're gonna do these investigations, but I really don't think much is gonna happen to these people, unfortunately.
Putin's mistress alone apparently hid $100 million. The dude, imagine how rich he is that he's giving his mistress $100 million.
Right.
And by the way, that's one of his mistresses. I don't know how many he has. It could be one, it could be many more than that. That's a lot of money of the Russian people that Putin has taken for himself. And it's disgusting. And I give him as an example because it's such a flamboyant example, but there's many other world leaders and many other wealthy folks from all across the world. And that's why all these governments are investing. And I actually thought, funny enough, the response from the Pakistani government was the best. They said, no, we're not playing. We're gonna come find these people and there's gonna be consequences. And they're led by a guy who is relatively moderate, but a moderate populist in Pakistan, who is already famous and already wealthy. And apparently, so he's not involved. And he's saying that there's going to be real consequences legally in Pakistan. Look, I don't mean to put Pakistan down, but they've had their rough spots and their Secret Service worked with the Taliban and Al-Qaeda at different times. So I don't mind criticizing them too much. But I think it's a little embarrassing that America is considered way more corrupt than Pakistan.
A little, very, it's very embarrassing. And I know that President Biden has said that he's, that they're gonna launch an investigation as well. So investigate, what I wanna see behind those investigations is what are gonna be the consequences for the actions and how are we gonna deal with South Dakota?
Yeah, South Dakota is an interesting one there because Nina, the funny thing was there wasn't a lot of Americans on the list because we already allow them to cheat here in America, so they didn't have to go abroad and hide their money.
That we do. So we got another Pandora. What are we gonna call that one, Gene? We can't call it the Pandora, but
yeah, the open corruption papers. No. The papers?
Yes, that's it. And it's not, you gotta laugh to keep from crying. This is really serious, and it is absolutely shameful. These people know no shame. If they did, there wouldn't be Pandora's papers. There wouldn't be this kind of situation in our country and throughout the world. They have no shame. They don't care.
Yeah, Nina, one last thing about this. I think it's also an interesting story, and I'm glad you picked it because it shows now the true extent of corporate rule, right? whether it's corporations that are hiding their money abroad or it's individual wealthy individuals like this that are hiding their money abroad. It's not like people don't know it. There are things called the double Irish, the Dutch sandwich, and they sound funny. And I'm never not amused by them, by those names. But what they are is, as Nina pointed out, they're terrible tax shelters. And we know the Netherlands does it. We know Ireland does it. Cayman Islands, I mean, the whole point of the country, unfortunately, is a tax shelter.
Yes.
And we, all of the governments allow it because we're not ruled by nation states anymore. We're ruled by multinational corporations.
Yeah, oligarchy.
Yeah. And that's the state of affairs in the world. That's why we got progressives. And we've got to fight back. If we don't fight back, corporate Republicans and corporate Democrats are going to let this stand for the rest of the time.
Or, yeah, and continue to destroy our country and our world. And God forbid they're going up into space now to do the same thing.
You know, I never thought of it that way. You know, I just thought they're trying to escape because of the hellhole they've created here, and they got to get out of here. But maybe you're right. Maybe they're going up to space to corrupt space.
They're gonna mess that up too, Jake. I mean, come on, we can't let them do it. It's enough down here.
Yeah, they're like, what?
Mess that up.
There's no legalized bribery in Mars. We got to fix that.
Right.
I mean, when scientists said, "Oh, you know, there's some water we're seeing below the surface of Mars, so there might be life," Bezos and the others were like, "Wait, we haven't bribed that yet. Right. We got to get there.
Let us go and conquer." Yeah. No, we can't. We got to keep them here.
Yeah, 100%.
Don't let the virus spread. No pun intended, but please.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go to our hero of the week. All right, Nino. Got stuck on purple there. It looks kind of fun. And then it says hero on top of us. Well, all right, we'll take it.
I love it. I love it. Go ahead, team. Go ahead. So,
all right.
Our hero of the week is none other than Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley. And she is the hero of the week because she has introduced, along with a senator, a bill to make sure that Medicare pays for wigs. And that is vitally important because so many people lose their hair, especially women. And we have some, you know, I want to play or show some of the, we're showing them now, but Congresswoman shared her story of having alopecia. And alopecia is a condition that many women and men, we know men suffer from it, but so often women were ashamed to talk about that condition. And Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley shared that, and is now, you know, she goes fully bald. And it is a condition where your body is attacking your hair follicles. And so you go from thinning hair to, in some cases, just losing all of your hair. And it took a lot of courage. And she has shared how hard that was for her, because hair, especially for women, is tied to femininity, tied to beauty. And then when you wrap the Eurocentric version or vision of what beauty is, it's long hair at that. And it can do a lot to your self-esteem. So the Congresswoman deserves a big shout out, big ups for having won the courage to totally go bald in the way that she did, and to also to be vulnerable enough to share her story, and then to utilize her story to push public policy that will really, really help lots of women.
All right, let me give a couple of facts here. First of all, 7 million people live with alopecia. So it affects a surprisingly large number of Americans. And to the point that Nina was making, Ayanna Pressley said this: when you feel like your body is betraying you and you feel less like yourself, that's already challenging. To be bald as a woman really does disrupt conventional and societal norms of what is appropriate, what is professional, what is attractive, what is feminine. It's so much more than cosmetic. It takes a real toll. Now, I want to get to some of the specifics of the bill in a second, but just on a personal note, Nina, for a lot of folks, hair is not an issue. And so they haven't really thought about hair as an issue in their lives. Like me, for example, my hair is okay, whatever. I don't really care about it. Okay, we talk on the show all the time about it. I go to Supercuts. I'm proud of it. So what? Okay, but it's just not an issue for me. But it's not just for alopecia, not just in the context of the story in this bill, but hair is a very large issue for others. So how about you? When you were growing up, how did you feel about it? How was it an issue in your life?
Yeah, and even before I answer that, Jake, I want to, you know, credit Representative McGovern to, you know, teamed up with the congresswoman as well. His daughter, 20-year-old daughter, has a rare cancer, and he shared the story about one of the things she was very concerned about was going through chemo, and guess what, losing her hair. To answer your question, definitely, I mean, the whole notion of what is beautiful was wrapped into a Eurocentric worldview of whiteness, which means your hair must be straight. You must have good hair. And as an African-American woman, good hair, the African-American community, particularly black women, our hair is political all the time, whether we wear braids or we wear locks, you know, in certain, I mean, all across the country now, I know you have noticed, and maybe some of our members have noticed too, but crown laws have popped up recently. And that is primarily to protect black women and protect all, but black people, black women in particular, black men, and then all people by extension, for the way that you want to wear your hair. But if you weren't wearing your hair straight, your hair is not considered attractive. And that does weigh on you. It really, really does. And just think about that generationally being implanted into African Americans in particular, than any other group of people who do not fit that certain type of standard of beauty. It definitely works on your psyche. And for me, Jink, you know, just laying this out, and this is probably the first time that I've shared this to the members I'm hearing this, I have an autoimmune disease. I don't have alopecia, but I do have an autoimmune disease. And that disease, you know, I have a rheumatoid arthritis. And my joints, my body are attacking my joints. And that also has an impact on my hair growth, how fast it grows, how slow it grows. And so I definitely see Congresswoman Presley as one of my heroes for really having the courage and coming all the way out in the way that she has.
Yeah, autoimmune diseases are no joke. I've got one too. Yeah. Mine is pemphigus vulgaris, where your body attacks your skin. And so you eventually lose all your skin. And in the old days, as in just like 40 years ago, it was guaranteed death. Luckily, obviously, as you can see, that's not the case these days.
Thank God.
Yeah, but by the way, when I had it about 20 years ago, right as we were starting the Young Turks, it was just as we were starting Young Turks. You had to hit it with a lot of steroids. And so that changed my metabolism for forever. It added about 60 pounds, which I haven't been able to shed since. And so this is, I say all of that because number one, it relates to the vaccine conversations we're constantly having, right? Science saves lives. There's no question about it. And so, you know, a lot of people have faith and that's great and that's wonderful. But science, there's no question, you can see it. If we didn't have those great breakthroughs, I would have died, period, right? My doctor told me at the time that when he did the biopsy and he saw, you know, looked under the microscope and he saw a single line of cells at the bottom and all the other skin cells had risen up, he knew that it was pemphigus. And he said, we were taught in medical school, he's a little bit older, he said, we were taught in medical school that if you saw that, that we call that the row of tombstones. You were looking at a dead man, okay?
Wow.
And so science saved my life, and it could save your life too, but you gotta believe in it in order for it to do that.
Yeah, and that's right. You know, faith and science go together though, Jake. I mean, to me, you know, I won't superimpose that on anybody else, but I'm a woman of faith, and I believe in God, and I believe that God created science and scientists and researchers to help humankind overcome some of the difficulties that we face. So I thank God all the time for science.
Yeah, my mom says the same exact thing. And in this case, this bill is for just medical treatment and disease. It's not just purely for cosmetic reasons, and it's in the bill. Which then leads me to the question, and some private insurance covers this, but first of all, you got low and fixed income folks, and you got a lot of folks who don't have insurance, but for Medicare, they don't cover it. And so the question, Nina, is isn't it kind of incredible that we're in the year 2021 and we gotta fight for this? I mean, in the context of the American budget, it costs about a nickel. Why are we still having this conversation? Right.
It's backwards, you know, it just defies logic, it's immoral. It doesn't even make good economic sense. Medicare for all, you know, universal healthcare in this country is both moral and it's also the economically right thing to do. It will not only help individuals, but it will also help companies too. So there's something for everybody in Medicare for all, whether you're seeing it from a moral perspective or you see it from an economic perspective, it is definitely the way to go. And Jink, our country is so behind on this. Again, every other industrialized nation on the face of the earth has some type of universal healthcare, except for the good old United States of America. Does not make a lot of sense politically or economically.
Yeah, 100%. So, and look, Ayanna Pressley, wonderful job. And I'm glad you gave a shout out to McGovern, who's actually been fighting for this since 2018. You know, they both have personal experiences with it, but you don't have to have a personal experience to empathize.
No.
You know, whether you see Congresswoman Pressley, et cetera, and of course, I've had people that are loved ones that had cancer. And your heart breaks for every part of the process, but including when they lose their hair, because it feels not just you know, you've got all the issues that Congresswoman Pressley talked about, but you also have the psychological issue that you feel like you're decaying, and it's so visible and so in your face. The least we could do is help people.
The least we can do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, before we go to Villain of the Week, which is always fun, let me read a couple of viewer comments because we want to be interactive here and do this show with you guys. Felicia says in our member section, Power Hour with Nina Turner is a great addition to the TYT lineup, and credit to the journalists that researched and published the Pandora Papers report. That's real journalism. There will be no accountability or consequences. Oftentimes that's the case. In other countries, they might have accountability. Here, you know that there's almost no chance of that. But I love celebrating those great real journalists. So thank you, Felicia. Michelle wrote in, our hero is Nina Turner. Love having her on TYT. Well, Michelle, you speak for me. So I love that too. Kat writes in, I have a Slovenian friend who has alopecia. Her government health program does cover wigs. Nina, I just want to talk about that for a second. I mean, we get this all the time where we have either members or viewers who have friends abroad, or they live abroad themselves, and they're kind of stunned by the American system. They can't believe that in this country, for example, if you don't have insurance, we just let you die. That's like no other country does that. My wife is originally from Taiwan, and her and all of her friends keep their Taiwan citizenship in case they get sick, because they're not sure that they're going to be covered in America. What if your insurance has a cap? What if you can't pay the deductible? What if this? What if that? And they're thinking we might have to go to a civilized country like Taiwan in order to have healthcare.
I don't blame your wife. I really don't. But it is a stain, an absolute stain on America that in the 21st century we are still having this conversation. Even, you know, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in the 20th century was, you know, talking about this, and basically he just said that of all the injustices that he's seen, you know, the discrepancy in healthcare was by far the worst. I'm paraphrasing him, but he even weighed in on this issue. Lots of leaders have weighed in over this and weighed in on this issue over the ages, and so there is no excuse. Jake, I'm old enough to remember they just increased the military budget. They just increased the military budget yet again. But when it comes to having universal health care, cannot bring ourselves as a country to do the right thing. And I will go even further to say that any elected official who receives health care on the taxpayer's dime, but especially those in Congress who don't believe in universal health care, they need to give up their taxpayer-sponsored health care.
Yeah, 100%. Did you say I'm old enough to remember the defense bill? That's so funny.
I did. It just happened.
Yeah, it happened like a minute ago.
Oh, in a bipartisan way too, I might add. While we sitting up here playing games with the Build Back Better, bipartisanly, probably made up a word there, but in a bipartisan manner, they increased the military budget.
And I love what Representative Ilhan Omar and other progressives are doing in Congress. Now they're we asked, which is
lighten them up.
Yeah, and they're saying, look, you're going to keep calling it a $3.5 trillion bill for the infrastructure build better back bill. Okay, great. Then if you're going to use 10-year time window, then the defense bill is a $7.5 trillion bill, right? That to compare apples to apples. And if we got $7.5 trillion for extra defense spending, I think we could find a couple of bucks to do this bill.
I think so.
Yeah, and I guarantee you most Republicans vote against it. Last couple of comments here and then we'll move to villain. Mike Gonzalez 2K wrote in, Ayanna wears it with strength. Rue Bird wrote in, my aunt lost her hair because of cancer treatment. Wigs are expensive. And that's true. They can run up to a couple thousand dollars. And again, this isn't for just looking better. It's about medical treatment and folks that are having these issues.
But Jay, and there's nothing wrong with looking better because you, as you tied it to, there's some psychological impacts to how one feels about themselves after they've gone through or why they're continuing to go through something like this. So people should not just see it in a narrow-minded lens, just it's cosmetic. Cosmetic is also psychological, especially when it comes to losing your hair. And they're already catching so much hell and going through so much drama and trauma. The least we can do is take one thing off their plate. And the technology with some of these wigs today, I mean, you can hardly tell. There are lots of people that are wearing wigs, especially superstars, where you don't even know that they're wearing a wig. That's just how sophisticated it is now. So it is very, very expensive, but it is absolutely worth it to give somebody hope, to make them feel better about themselves, to give them just a little more energy or strength, just to go on one more day, one more moment. Just big ups to both Congress people for pushing this bill.
All right, so now let's go to our villain of the week. Ominous music as we do villain of the week. Okay, so who do you have here, Nina?
Governor Kay Ivey of the great state, the great southern state of Alabama, using COVID relief money, $400 million, I believe, COVID relief money to build freaking prisons instead of using that money to edify folks in her state. We can't even make this up. I feel like this is a horror movie, but it's real. It's in real life. And she's doubling down on her foolishness too.
Yeah. So she said this is an Alabama solution to this Alabama problem. So wait, coronavirus is an Alabama problem and the Alabama solution is to build more prisons. Why? Are we going to imprison coronavirus?
I wish we could.
I mean, yeah.
Lord have mercy.
If she knows something we don't know, I'm happy to do that. Yes. Maybe we could trap it in a tiny multiverse that Doctor Strange is in. Random Marvel Comic Universe reference. Okay, but that's not really how it works. And of course, you know it's going to disproportionately affect African Americans in Alabama. Everybody knows that. But we got a video on this from CNN. Let's take a quick look.
We have some breaking news for you now. Just moments ago, Alabama Governor Kay Ivey, a Republican, just signed legislation into law that would allow the state to use federal COVID relief funds to build new prisons. This is money that the federal government sent to states to help them plug budget shortfalls caused by the pandemic.
We've got an Alabama problem and we're going to give it an Alabama solution.
That solution? A roughly $1.3 billion package laid out in a series of bills to build two new prisons while closing or renovating the existing ones. And the majority is paid for in bonds and through the state general fund. But up to $400 million, more than 30% of the total cost, would come from the money issued to Alabama under the American Rescue Plan.
Looking for a new career? Welcome to DO HVAC Training Service Center in North Charleston. Enroll today in our comprehensive HVAC training hands-on field experience-based program covering troubleshooting, maintenance, installation, and more on various HVAC systems and ductwork. We offer EPA and NATE preparation and testing, along with various certifications. Enjoy payment options. Take advantage of their November specials. Achieve certification in under 5 months. Enroll now for your new journey of skill development and career advancement. Log on to DEWHVACTrainingSC.com to inquire.
Nina.
We need to rescue America from her. You talking about recall. I don't know if they have any recall provisions in Alabama, but baby, this is the time to recall her. It leads me to something else. Here is, you know, it's making me think about the identity games that people play sometimes. Vote for a woman, vote for somebody just because they're a woman. This governor is one woman I would never, ever vote for. This is an absolute disgrace, but it's very much in line with some of the history and tradition of Alabama. But the fact, again, 21st century, and this governor is acting like she's in the 19th century. It makes no sense, and the feds need to snatch that money back from her.
Yeah. Look, let's talk about the broader issue for a second. Look, is it the part where it's mental to spend COVID relief money on prisons is obvious, right? But let's talk about the prison industrial complex overall. Nina, when I was down in Alabama, I think it was in Mobile, there was a tiny little museum about the days of slavery and segregation.
Yes.
and Civil Rights Museum. But it was a really good one. It was very instructive, obviously done on a small budget by local folks, and they did a brilliant job of it. And I read one of the most disturbing things I've ever read there. And I've said this on the show many times, and I'm actually gonna give a warning to folks here, because it really is deeply, deeply disturbing. But I share it because I wanna connect it to what's still happening today.